I'm Dean Newland, and welcome to the Business of Intuition, where I coach, facilitate, train, and speak on the hard science and meaningful experience of intuitive leadership in business, so you can make better decisions, forge real connections, and creatively solve problems to amplify your impact and simplify your life. Welcome to the Business of Intuition.
Each one of my guests on the Business of Intuition has their own unique way to describe what intuition is and how it has applied in their life and their business. However, all of them share a common trait in that they have seen and experienced tragedy and setback and turned them into opportunities for transformation and renewal. And my next guest is no different. James Monahan was once in the law enforcement industry and then found himself in prison, and he spent 4 years there, during which time he and one of his close friends started to come up with some ideas about what they wanted to do when they came out, and so was born Out of Bounds Nation Foundation. They provide second chances to individuals with a criminal past through entrepreneurial, educational, and vocational programs. They've also graduated two startups from a small business incubator program, one company called Two Creations, which published their first book called False Confessions, and a second startup is called Prison Break Brewery, and it has an apprenticeship program that they are now beginning to launch. All right, so Jim, thanks for joining me on the Business of Intuition, and I think that your work absolutely is fascinating. And reading up on your background and the work that you're doing, the contribution you're making is just so important. How did you get into this? What led you to this line of work? I mean, of all the things that a guy could be doing, why this?
Well, a little interesting story. I mean, I have some law enforcement background. I actually vested out early, 13 years. I retired as a sergeant in the NYPD. To pursue a private venture. I was a CEO of a real estate business, and this is pre-2008-2009. Unfortunately, we got caught up in that. We got hit very hard, and some bad decisions were made, and I kind of got caught up in that. Unfortunately, those bad decisions led me to prison, and from there, I met up with like-minded individuals, other entrepreneurs, basically. Believe it or not, you have a lot of time when you're in prison, so you kind of have time to either to get into negative stuff or try to make some good out of it. And so myself and a couple other individuals said, you know what, let's make some good out of it. And they were also business owners, small business owners, and we started designing a plan, basically a master plan, you could say, to basically help others provide a second chance through entrepreneurial programs, educational programs, and things of that nature. So we formed a foundation, and from that foundation, we formed a small business incubator. And basically what we do is we try to help other individuals who have a criminal past. If they have an interesting business idea, we look to help them out. We provide our resources, our network. And then the other thing we do is try to put some type of educational or vocational program to that. And the reason for that is twofold. One, it should help if it's done correctly and designed correctly. It should help the small business owner be more profitable. And secondary is other individuals that need employment. As you know, the unemployment rate is, especially now with the pandemic, but I don't know if many people know, people that are felons, let's just say, the unemployment rate is even much worse. So if we can provide an opportunity to that man or woman to, you know, some type of career possibility, then that's what we do. And we've done it successfully thus far. We have actually three companies that we put through our small business incubator. And so we're very excited about it.
Fantastic. And so did you come up with this idea while you were in prison?
Yes. So not me, myself. I have two other partners. Okay. And we each brought something to the table. I guess you could say mine is more of the foundation and a small business incubator. One of the companies from that, one of my partner overseas, is called Unitude Creations. It's a book publishing and film production company. We actually launched our first book. It's called False Confession, a nonfiction book. Got great reviews thus far between Barnes and Noble and Amazon. The other company, my other partner oversees that. It's called Prison Break Brewery. It's actually a craft beer. It's a prison theme. So everything we do is prison themed. So every small business, we try to encourage that small business owner. Of course, not all, but that's, we're trying to keep it, you know, of the brand, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
But it's a positive brand, because how we structure these LLCs is as public benefit companies. And the reason we do that is we make a public declaration to give back. So part of the profits generated from any of these organizations that I just outlined goes back to other nonprofit organizations like Prison Fellowship or Angel Tree, which are organizations that really help those who are incarcerated, children of the incarcerated. So it's a give back social enterprise structure.
Really great. So I'm thinking you must run into this a lot, and maybe if you could walk me through how this goes. I'm a business. I want to connect with you. I hear that you have people that maybe we could do some apprenticeships with who have been in prison, and there's immediately some sort of fear or some sort of concern that gets put into my mind. How do you work through people presenting you with their concerns about interacting with people who've been in prison, or the concerns that they have? What shows up, and how do you convince them that this is a good idea?
Very good question. Basically, like with almost anything else, you know, stats, you know, data that support what we're doing, that it works. And we have that. We have other organizations that, you know, we're not unique in this field. We're unique in certain areas, but in terms of providing employment opportunities or business entrepreneurial opportunities, you know, there's things that we can point to that actually work. And the reality is, and the data is there to show it, and the research is there to show it, that if you just give these men and women a second chance through education and through employment opportunities, you're going to find that most of these men and women are going to be your probably hardest worker, hardest employee. And that's what these small business owners, if they're thinking about hiring individuals like that, they need to understand that they just need an opportunity, but they'll be a hard worker for you.
And so when you think about those stats and these people becoming such great hard workers, can you tell us a success story of somebody that comes to mind who really represents what you do very, very well?
Yeah, absolutely. I have several.
I bet.
I'll just give you one. But
yeah, sure.
His name is Doug Williams, and he was actually put in prison for something that he believed in teaching people. But now he's just one of the businesses ran through our small business incubator. And it's yielding some good numbers in terms of revenue projections and you know where it's going. He's actually going to be hiring about 2 to 3 employees over the next, I would say, 2 to 3 months. So it's just in a short term of a year from where he came from and where he is now. So just, you know, success story like that, you know, to be able to hire employees in these conditions, in this pandemic condition, you know, for us is a true testament of success that we feel. And that's just one. Like I said, I have several individuals. So, you know, again, it's just focusing on, you know, positivity, making sure that, you know, it works, but yet, you know, these are good stories.
True story. You're the product of the product. I mean, you are one of your success stories, right?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But yes, I've been in the system, obviously. I've seen how it works. So I can connect with these individuals when they want to start a business, and they have that mindset, well, it's too tough or it's too difficult. It's not. So that's just one of the things we try to help them with in terms of focus, you know, getting their mind, you know, straight and, you know, things like that. But it's doable.
That's great. That's really great. I guess where do you see this going? I mean, you talked about you're just getting started. There's a lot more work to do. Yes. Where do you want to take this?
To be honest, as far as we can go, we want to create a brand. And I'll be very blunt with you. We feel that this is a good brand to invest in, to get involved with. Why? Because one, it's just not about helping people. I mean, from an investor perspective, it is something that we feel strong will be profitable. But by being profitable, we stress the fact of giving back. So, you know, we don't force the small business owner to become a public benefit or a social enterprise, but we stress the fact, and honestly, you know, you are in the system, give back to the system in terms of helping others, get them to a place where, you know, you are, you know, and I think that's what it's about. So to answer your question, yeah, I see it going, you know, we're getting a lot of positive feedback and creating that brand, of developing profitable businesses, but yet social enterprise businesses, and just keeping that wheel turning round and round. And as it goes around, it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger.
So when you think about connecting these people who've been in the system to current employers, are there certain types of employers that you are targeting that you would love to connect with?
Yeah, so basically it's our own, right? So what we do is, first point is, we'll have an individual that has a business idea, and so we'll work with that individual, or it could be individuals, it could be a group of business owners, let's just say, and they have a business idea. So we'll help them with that concept, turn that into reality, and make sure that it will be realistic, will be profitable, things of that nature. And then the second part is designing that education or entrepreneurial program or vocational program. For example, we have that craft beer company. We actually designed or are designing an apprenticeship program. So not only is it, they're making good craft beer, but they have an apprenticeship program to teach X amount of other individuals who have a criminal past. San Diego State University is actually providing a curriculum for that. We have a six-month on-the-job training with actual brewers, with brewers and mentors, 15 to 20 years of experience in that craft beer industry. So these individuals will be getting hands-on training, paid. But that's the idea, right? It's to create the career. So to answer your question, any business that we put through our small business incubator, the goal is to try to fit that component to create more opportunities, employment opportunities, to create careers for these individuals. So that is our goal. That is our mission.
So that could be any business. I mean, if I were a company, for example, and I wanted to partner with you, I wouldn't necessarily have to have been in the system, so to speak. It could be any business. Sure. So long as your people have the skills that I need, we could work something out.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that we haven't come across yet, but we're definitely open to doing some type of partnership with the company that's looking to hire individuals. What we would ask is to design some type of educational or vocational program for that business, let's just say. And the reason, again, is we don't want to create jobs. What we're trying to do is create careers. So we feel by getting them that education and getting that hands-on on-the-job training for X amount of time, normally about 6 months, we feel it will help that individual be successful, and it's successful in creating a career, not just a job. Don't get me wrong. When a person leaves prison, they absolutely need employment. But we want to take it a step further. We want to provide them a good education and a solid opportunity in creating a career. So that's why we stress that component.
So education and employment combined.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose if you have those two things together, recidivism rates go way down.
I go back to what we said in the beginning about data. It's really not rocket science. I mean, we throw, I guess, billions of dollars into the correctional facilities, institutions, what have you, at the federal and state level. But again, the data is there to support it. Education, employment reduces the recidivism rate more than half.
So in some odd kind of ironic way, it would have been nice to have some of this stuff in these people's lives much early on. Which may have prevented some of this. Is that fair, or is it too simplistic to say that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there are some cases. Yeah, there are some cases. There are some actual programs. There are some other organizations other than ours that are doing excellent work, great work, and things like this. They're actually inside the prisons trying to get that good work done. But it's not enough. I mean, obviously, I don't know, the number of over 2 million people are incarcerated in this country. You know what I mean? And it keeps on getting higher and higher and higher. And you know, it's just...
Well, what's your sense on that? Because I was just listening to something on the radio today where one of the states, I forget which one, maybe it was Texas, or they're beginning to relax some of their laws about how long a person is going to be in prison. There was like a 3 strikes, you're out policy. And now they're saying, you know, this guy's already been in for 17 years. He's supposed to be in for a lifetime plus, plus, plus. We're going to let him out now as a drug trafficking, I think, example. And so now this person is going to be let out earlier. And of course, he's overjoyed by that. Are you seeing more of that? That there's a slight shift in our national consciousness around incarceration?
Yes. Well, under this current administration, the First Step Act was initiated. So that was a positive step in terms of criminal justice reform. Is it enough? Absolutely not. There still needs to be a heck of a lot more that needs to be done. And I'll just throw one figure out at you that is kind of disturbing. For someone like myself, there are 44,000 legal barriers for me as a felon, let's just say, whether I want to find a job or apply for something or get housing, 44,000 legal barriers that prevent me from, you know, doing something, maybe something good, you know, and I can't do it because I'm a felon. So, yes, there is change, positive change, but there still needs to be a heck of a lot more. This stuff that we're doing needs to be, you know, more focus has to be drawn upon it because people need to realize that. Another fact I'll throw at you, they estimated close to about $87 billion in lost economic output for people like us, like myself, that because we're restricted. There's so many restrictions that there's actually loss in economic output. And that number is pretty large.
That's incredible.
It is. It really is. So, yeah, great work thus far, but still, there still needs to be a lot more that needs to be done.
Well, I think about all the applications as a kid I used to fill out. I haven't filled out an application in a long time, but they'd always ask that question. Have you been a felon? You check yes or check no. And like,
yes.
And young kid, I'm thinking like, no, but but I realized that if I had checked yes, I may not have gotten that job flipping burgers or whatever it was, or at Absolutely. Least I would look differently upon. And you're saying there's 44,000 of these different barriers out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No expert in this. I'm just the guy asking the questions on the mic, right? But it's just like if you pay your debt to society, so to speak, right?
Right.
Their debt's done. Right. It's not like you're saying, okay, dad, I owe you $50 because you lent it to me. But after I pay you back the $50, you're going to actually charge me another 10 for the next, 15 years of my life. There's something really wrong about all those barriers. If we're done, Absolutely. We're done. Right. Yeah. Let's close the book and let's let these people get on with their lives. Right.
Absolutely.
Fantastic work that you're kind of doing. I'm remembering something, Jim, about, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I've done a lot of work with Goodwill of Central and Northern Arizona and some other Goodwills around the country, and they're all about putting people to work. Right. And I can't help but think about them, and they've created partnerships across many different nonprofits on education and helping people get on their feet again. And I just absolutely adore what they're trying to do and what they are doing. And there was one experience that they did with the board of directors, and I was lucky enough to be a part of it. Because so many people just don't understand what it feels like to be in a situation where you could be homeless or where you're out of a job. You know, a lot of the people who are on these boards of directors come from the social economic background, which would bring them to the board, right? They don't have that real understanding of what it's like to go hungry or what have you. So something around that time, they developed a poverty simulation. It was about 2 hours in length, and we were placed in these make-believe families, and we had names and we had roles to play, and we had to go to school. And then every 15 minutes, something would change. Like maybe your dad lost his job, or your mom did, or somebody got put into prison, or now, your car broke down. And you had to sort of play act, feeling what it's like, even though it's play acting, to be in that situation. And I remember thinking like, boy, my survival mode all of a sudden started to kick into gear, and maybe breaking the law is a viable option right now because I need to take care of my family, right? I'm scared. Sure. Right. And again, we're just play acting here. Like, I'm wondering how do you feel the mindsets of people change, or like the confidence level people begin to go through? You must see it all the time, but what's like, not just the data that you just mentioned, but what's the success story in people's confidence and their worldview of themselves after they've gone through some of the work that you put them through?
Oh, it's tremendous. It's a feeling of relief. You know, some of the things that you mentioned, it's very stressful. Some of these individuals, what they've been through. And again, I would honestly say, most of them just made a bad choice in life or made a mistake, and most of them just need that second chance. So when they go through something like this and they see the opportunity, they see the growth potential, they see that they are better than that bad decision that they made X amount of years ago, it's so wonderful to see the expression on their face. And honestly, there are a lot of talented people that have been incarcerated, and people need to realize that.
Yeah.
So, to see that talent level also come out, the ideas, the visions now, because it's that kind of barrier, like they're almost like in a safe zone. Like, I can actually do this. I can actually succeed. And it's wonderful to get that out of a person because, again, you tap into their creative side, you'll see a lot of wonderful things. You'll hear a lot of wonderful things. And to me, that's what it's about.
That's fantastic. I really applaud you for what you do. How can, two questions, how can people support what you're doing? or connect to you should they want to after they hear this interview?
Great question. Our foundation is OBN Foundation, and our website is obnfoundation.org. In addition to that, we have a YouTube page, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we have the companies that came out through our small business incubator. One is Prison Break Brewery, www.prisonbreakbrewery.com. The other one is Unit 2 Creations. That's the number 2. Again, unit2creations.com. And so either way, we're all intertwined, interconnected, but the foundation will be the best. There, you'll have my information. I think one of my partners' information as well as on that site. And you can contact me directly or, again, through the social media pages. It'll all get back to me.
That's great. So, Jim, I will ask you one other quick question here. What has this done for you personally? Like, how has your life changed as a result of the work that you're now doing for other people? Well, how are you different? What is this Jim that I'm seeing with a big smile on my screen like today? What's going on in your life now that you can say this is all working?
First, I guess I'm spiritual by nature, so I feel I'm blessed. I'm a firm believer in change the way you look at things, and things you look at will change. And I'm not going to lie to you, when I first went away, it was very difficult, very challenging. And again, because of my background as a law enforcement, they don't like that too kindly where I had to go. So it's just fighting through that. But I was very blessed and fortunate that certain people were introduced to me, and you know, all of these wonderful things came about. So how am I doing? Again, I just feel blessed. I feel happy for me. I love helping people. I love, you know, seeing good things come about when you put hard work and effort into something. You see the fruits of it. And to me, that's rewarding for me. It's just helping others and building something where they can now hopefully help others themselves.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much for your time on this. Work is, it's unique. It's so purpose-centered and it's so needed. And I just appreciate the courage that you have taken to make this happen. And I'm sure a lot of people out there feel the same way, but thanks for your time and telling your story.
Thank you very much for your time and having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Intuition. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Dean or Mission Facilitators Leadership, go to mfileadership.com. That's mfileadership.com.